I mentioned that he will have four horses, at least four horses, in this year's Kentucky Derby, led by Florida Derby winner Known Agenda. And Todd is indeed with me now here on HRRN. Todd, good morning. Appreciate the visit.
Morning, Mike. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. I was just referencing the fact that you very well could find yourself putting on that Hall of Fame jacket and making a speech in Saratoga later this year. How cool would that be, man?
You know, it's really, really special recognition for our whole team. Really, you know, is the way I look at it. So many people would have contributed, and you know, just to be nominated is you know, a special feeling. So, if it actually happens, be delighted.
I was talking with Ron Nicoletti from Gulfstream Park on this show a few weeks ago after you were officially nominated. And I told him it would be an Arkong-like upset if you're not a first-ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know if you look at yourself that way, Todd, but the body of work you have put together, in my opinion, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. You deserve a plaque in there. There's no doubt about it. What do you remember about getting the news that you were going to be nominated?
I knew that some people had told me that this year, you know, was the year that I became eligible. So, you know, we were kind of aware of it, but you know, it's still when you see it actually come out, and it sort of gives you a moment to pause and reflect, and you know, appreciate all the opportunities you've gotten over the years, and all the great horses that have made it happen, and then you kind of think, wow, where did that 25 years go? You know, it's really flies by quickly, and you know, sometimes when you reach some of these milestones, it kind of gives you a moment to kind of pause and reflect, which is hard to do in this business, and really makes you kind of appreciate just, you know, everything.
Do you view yourself as a Hall of Fame trainer, Todd?
To be honest with you, I've never really thought about, you know, I've never thought in those terms, and you know, and people ask, you know, is that a goal that you set for yourself when you started out? And I can honestly tell you, no, I never dreamt that I could have the career that you know, we've been able to have so far. And so I never really set that as a goal. And not to sound corny, but, you know, I mean, literally our goal each day is to come in and do the best job we can with each and every horse and that we can possibly do. And I think if you try to stay focused on doing that, then hopefully the results follow.
Well, yeah, you do things the right way, you treat people the right way, and eventually all of the accolades follow that success. And let's hope that it happens for you coming up in just a couple of weeks when those announcements are officially made. I was talking earlier about the fact that when Super Saver gave you your first Derby win in 2010, and we just heard Tom Durkin's call a short time ago coming out of the commercial break, that it has to be awful nice now not to show up at the Kentucky Derby and answer questions about being 0 for 24 or whatever that number was going into 2010.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was one of those things that was, you know, sort of, it was adding up quickly. And, you know, when you're having multiple starters over the years, you know, the number was getting high, and that was the obvious question that I was having to answer every time that we showed up. And, you know, so look, I wanted to win the Kentucky Derby more than anything, just because it's the race that everyone wants to win. But, you know, in some ways I don't think I was feeling it as much as, you know, the story was itself. So, but it was great to have it happen. And, you know, in 2010, and it's certainly kind of that narrative no longer we have to talk about. And, you know, by being fortunate enough to win it again in 2017, I feel like, you know, now we can say we didn't get lucky once, we were able to do it twice. And, you know, and just it's always exciting to be back to try again.
Yeah, what do they say? If you do it once, you must be lucky. If you do it twice, you must be good. And there's no doubt that you've got a handle on this thing now, and looking to add a third win to that resume in the Kentucky Derby later this year, 2 weeks from today. I would almost spin that the other way, Todd. I know 0 for 24 was the narrative, and that's the negative side of it, but to get 24 horses into the starting gate in a Kentucky Derby in itself is a massive accomplishment and a huge feather in your cap. It's not easy to get a horse to the Derby.
No, no, it's not. And I mean, I think you can certainly appreciate that. And, you know, even we're, 2 weeks out now, and you still come in and on pins and needles every day and hoping that everyone stays healthy and continues to train well. And so those are things that you always have to be concerned about, right up to the last second. So, I feel like, you know, we have been able to do a good job of getting horses to the Derby. And then also, I think, you know, one of the other things that we're proud of is that not only is getting them to the Derby, but we've had a lot of success with horses after they've run in the Derby. So hopefully we can continue that trend.
Yeah, I referenced that earlier. Vino Rosso, for example, winning the Breeders' Cup Classic, just another horse that continued to get better throughout the year and become a good older horse, too. Let's talk about the four potential horses that you have in here. There could be more, but I think four is a solid number, and correct me if I'm wrong on that, but we'll start with Known Agenda. This is the sixth time that you will saddle four or more horses in the Kentucky Derby, maybe even the seventh time, actually, if I go back and look at it, but it's pretty impressive, Todd. Known Agenda, Florida Derby winner. Boy, did he run a big race back on March 27th.
He really did, and I mean, he's a perfect example of a horse that just seems to be getting good at the right time and has just improved. His last two starts, especially with the addition of Winkers, seem to have really made a difference in his early race focus and just kind of seemed to be the turning point that kind of got his head in the game and moving in the right direction. But I thought his Florida Derby was the race that we'd always felt like he had in him. And, you know, it was great to see him deliver that performance and come out of it in good shape. And we're excited about the fact that he's always given us the impression that a mile and a quarter is right in his wheelhouse.
What led you to make the decision to add Blinkers a couple starts ago?
Well, actually, it was John Velasquez who wrote him in the Sam Davis. And, you know, we had in our minds that he's a little bit of a lazy colt and somewhat unfocused, but we were hoping he'd kind of start to figure things out. And he was improving his training. But Johnny, when he wrote him in the Sam Davis, he said, yeah, I think you need to put some Blinkers on this horse. I just couldn't get him into the race early on. And so we worked him in Blinkers. He worked well. And then he certainly has improved in his two races with him.
You know, 24 winners, Derby winners, have come from the Florida Derby. That's the most of any prep race in the history of the sport. Your last winner, Always Dreaming, prepped in the Florida Derby. Why has that been such a productive prep race historically?
Well, you know, I think if you go way back, it's for different reasons. And I think partly it's just because so many of the best East Coast-based horses and even Midwest horses, in some cases, have used Florida as their winter headquarters. So, but I think what's really made a difference over the last, maybe going back to Barbaro, is the 5 weeks that it's scheduled 5 weeks before the Kentucky Derby, and to me that's perfect timing. Gives you plenty of time after a big performance like that, and you've got enough room for three works. And so I think the scheduling of it in recent years is a big reason for its success.
Talking with 2021 Hall of Fame nominated trainer Todd Pletcher here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Todd, let's talk about a couple of the others. That Wood Memorial, Bourbonic, 72-1 upset. I guess you always knew you had that one in the bag, huh?
Yeah, I tell you, I give all the credit to Mr. Kelly and Kelly Max. He's game and loves being a part of the Kentucky Derby when they have the opportunity, so he's always willing to take a shot, and seldomly give us any real orders or any real requests. But he said, if you don't mind, can you take a shot with Bourbonic in a race with Derby points? And so the horse is based in New York, and the Wood Memorial seemed like a logical place to try it. And it's one of those situations where everything fell into place. Kendrick gave Carmouche gave him a terrific ride and rode him patiently and made one-way run, and you know, he finished up with good energy. So he's, you know, a great example of you can't win if you're not in there trying.
Yeah. Was there anything that you were seeing from Bourbonnik before the Wynn Memorial that gave you any hope that he could pull off a shocker like that?
Well, you know, he's a horse that's actually breezed pretty well at times. And the one thing we did feel confident about was that he was going to improve going a mile and an eighth. And he's always kind of a horse that gave us that impression. We just never quite had the opportunity. The one time we'd run him two turns was at Parks in a mile race. And so this was his first chance to get around two turns going a mile and an eighth. And we did feel that was going to help him.
It helped him in a big way. When you win the Wood Memorial with a 72-1 shot, that's wonderful. When you get the exacta and your horse that runs second is 15-1, I think you're just showing off, man.
Yeah, I mean, now Dynamic One is sort of a, you know, a different example. I mean, he's a horse that has always trained exceptionally well, and you know, we were getting a little frustrated that he didn't win his first three starts, and his debut went completely, literally sideways at the start when he brushed the side of the gate, and then we ran into Greatest Honor in a maiden race from a bad post position at Gulfstream. And probably made the mistake of running him back again at Gulfstream a mile and 16 from a bad post position. So, you know, in our eyes, he was the best three-start maiden, you know, in the country. And so when we went to Aqueduct and was able to break his maiden, we felt like we were getting back on track. And then, you know, he ran a huge race in the wood. He's still kind of figuring things out. And I think when he made the lead, he got to wandering around a little bit, and Bourbonnik surprised him quickly at the end. But I like the way the horse is coming around, and like I said, it's one that we've always been impressed with in the mornings.
Yeah, an impressive yearling too. The $725,000 yearling purchase. So Dynamic One was always highly regarded. Your last of the quartet would be Sainthood, a son of Emshuish, who you know very, very well. Tell me a little bit more about Sainthood.
Well, he's an improving horse, and, you know, he's done a little wrong in his three starts. He's second on debut, just missed a tight photo, and then went to New Orleans to break his maiden. And, you know, we're just kind of looking for a logical place for him. And, like you said, being a son of Emshuish, who was a grade one winner on turf and dirt, we felt like maybe this horse would like the synthetic. And ran a big race in the Jeff Ruby, just got in a little bit of traffic and kind of had to alter course and was finishing best of all. But, you know, he's a little light on experience, but we like the way he's been training. And, you know, what appears could be kind of a wide open year, you never know.
Well, let's spend just a moment or two, Todd, before I let you go, talking about the Kentucky Oaks, and I guess one filly pointed for that race, the undefeated Ashland winner, Malathat, who looks like she could just be any kind, but saddling one horse in a big race like that, that's almost like a day off for you, isn't it?
I tell you, we're really excited about this filly and always have been. We're fortunate enough to train her dam, Dreaming of Julia, and this filly was special as a yearling. And just, she's such a delight to train. She's so push-button, so much class, and just a great filly to be around. And you know, she's to go for 4-for-4 in her first four starts is just a credit to how much talent she has.
She's talented. Her trainer is talented, and the team surrounding her is talented. Todd, listen, I got to get to another commercial break, but I really appreciate the visit here this morning. All the best with the Oaks, the Derby, and all the best with that Hall of Fame, man.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.